Have you ever heard the phrase child-free or childless by choice? It is a label applied to couples who are intentionally excluding children from their relationship in order to live the lifestyle they please, usually one of wealth, leisure, travel, and the like. A niche term for this is DINK, which stands for dual income, no kids. And sometimes even DINKWAD, dual income, no kids with a dog. And these folks embrace this label proudly. Well, is this a lifestyle choice a Catholic married couple can make? Can a Catholic couple live child-free? I'm Dr. David Heiduk, and here's my take.
When you read Scripture, you want to know that you're reading with the mind of the Church. Verbum helps you read Scripture in the light of the tradition by putting the Magisterion within reach on all of your devices. Connect your daily Scripture readings with the Catechism, Church Fathers, and Catholic commentaries. Access a world-class Catholic library on all of your devices. Pray through Scripture with step-by-step instructions on Lectio Divina. Right now, listeners of a Reason for Hope podcast can get started with Verbum with an extra free month. Take your spiritual reading, journaling, and studying to the next level with Verbum. To get started for free, visit the link above or below in the description.
And don't forget to like, follow, share, and subscribe to this podcast and give us a 5-star rating. So back to the topic. Can a Catholic married couple live a child-free lifestyle? Now, I'm not speaking here about a couple that is infertile, that is, who can't bear children for whatever reason. I'm talking about those who are childless by choice. Simply put, the answer is no. In fact, if a couple were to inform the priest preparing them for marriage that they have no intentions of ever having children, that would preclude the priest from officiating at the wedding. Not only do those getting married in the church affirm that they will accept children lovingly from God, but that they will raise them according to the law of Christ and His church. If the couple went through the motions, declaring publicly that they will accept children, while having no intention to do so, their marriage would be automatically invalid. An interesting related point, if after the wedding, either of the spouses decided that they never want to have children, this would actually become grounds for an annulment. Okay, so that's the short answer. Now the question is, why? Why is a child-free lifestyle so contradictory to what the church teaches about marriage that such a decision would make getting married in the church impossible or render the marriage invalid? How does being childless by choice run counter to the very plan of God in creating us male and female? Well, first we need to begin with reconnecting some things that have been separated due to the cultural acceptance of the sexual revolution, but we're pretty much always seen together since the dawn of history. Marriage, sex, and babies. The very Latin root of the word matrimony means mother. From the rhyme, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes baby in a baby carriage, to the lyric, love and marriage, you can't have one without the other, everyone with a modicum of common sense knew what was clear to most. It was objectively obvious, a given, if you will. However, the people behind the sexual revolution tirelessly worked to change sexual mores such that morality in the sexual sphere became predominantly subjective. The only criterion of whether a sexual act was moral or immoral became consent, that everyone freely agreed to it. Simultaneously, the fundamental goal of sexual acts became sexual pleasure. And any repression or suppression of sexual pleasure was considered to be the main contributor to neuroses, as opposed to an act of self-control and virtue. These views were adopted by second-wave feminism, which bought into the Marxist view that the advancement of women in society was tied to sexual politics. Women needed to be free to pursue unlimited sexual pleasure and not bear the burden of monogamy or motherhood, the two things that perpetuated the patriarchal bourgeoisie, if they were ever going to compete with men in the workplace and be equal in society. Hence, birth control and abortion, in addition to free love, homosexuality, and easy divorce, became driving forces in this movement. What's my point? The natural connection between love, marriage, sex, and babies was not only severed, but seen as oppressive. The idea that sex had an intrinsic purpose, one written right into our bodies ordained by the Creator himself, which needed to be respected, was replaced by the view that human reproduction was a problem to be solved or another area for human conquest by technology. Babies were burdens to be avoided, even sacrificed at the altar of human caprice and unrestrained sexual pleasure. Sever sex from procreation, and you separate sex from marriage, the relationship best suited for the raising of children. And so, the family, that fundamental cell of society, comprised of husband, wife, and their children, has been in steady decline ever since, and we see the devastation today. So it probably doesn't come as a surprise that the Catholic Church teaches that marriage, sex, and openness to children all go together. But why is this the case? Well, before I answer that, let's hear more about our sponsor for this episode.
When you read Scripture, you want to know that you're reading with the mind of the Church. Verbum helps you read Scripture in the light of the tradition by putting the Magisterion within reach on all of your devices. Connect your daily Scripture readings with the Catechism, Church Fathers, and Catholic commentaries. Access a world-class Catholic library on all of your devices. Pray through Scripture with step-by-step instructions on Lectio Divina. Right now, listeners of a Reason for Hope podcast can get started with Verbum with an extra free month. Take your spiritual reading, journaling, and studying to the next level with Verbum. To get started for free, visit the link above or below in the description. We hope that you're enjoying this episode. In case you didn't know, we do a lot more than just produce podcasts here at A Ray of Hope. We have a variety of ways that we evangelize through our culture through high-quality media and events. Click on the link above or below in the description, which will direct you right to our website where you can see the many ways that we're able to help you and your church community grow deeper in our Catholic faith. Now back to the episode.
Why does the Catholic Church teach that marriage, sex, and openness to children belong together in God's plan? Let's ponder the church's logic a bit. In the beginning, God created human beings in his image and likeness. When he did so, he made them male and female. Then God blessed them and commanded them to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. The man and the woman, his wife, created for a communion of persons in the image of the Trinity, a fact that is stamped right into the structure of their bodies, become one flesh and bear children through God. The total gift of self of the man and the woman to one another in marriage, which includes the gift of their entire lives since the gift is total, opens itself up to the gift of a child, the third, springing forth from the union of the two. The love of the spouses expressed in the union of their bodies becomes personified, if you will, in the child. Thus, the church teaches that the marital act means both love and potential fruitfulness, and that these two meanings cannot be intentionally separated without attacking the very nature of sex as ordained by God and knowable by reason. In fact, when the marital act is deprived of its inner truth, because it is intentionally deprived of its procreative capacity, it ceases to be an act of love. In contradicting truth, it contradicts love, because we are called to love in truth, and love rejoices in the truth. This is why Pope Paul VI reaffirmed the constant teaching of the Church when he asserted, "The Church, in urging men to the observance of the precepts of the natural law, which it interprets by its constant doctrine, teaches that each and every marital act must of necessity retain its intrinsic relationship to the procreation of human life." And he continued, "We are obliged once more to declare that the direct interruption of the generative process already begun, and above all, direct abortion, even for therapeutic reasons, are to be absolutely excluded as lawful means of regulating the number of children. Equally to be condemned, as the magisterium of the Church has affirmed on many occasions, is direct sterilization, whether of the man or of the woman, whether permanent or temporary. Similarly excluded is any action which, either before, at the moment of, or after sexual intercourse, is specifically intended to prevent procreation, whether as an end or as a means. The husband and wife accept children lovingly as a gift from God, and do not prevent them. Jesus said, 'Let the little children come unto me,' after all. Then they give the gift of themselves to their children, providing for their needs and teaching them to love, worship, and obey the God that created them, raising them according to the law of Christ and His Church. The natural and divine authority that parents have over their children is at the service of the children themselves, is for their good, and is the bedrock of a stable and flourishing society. As John Paul II once said, 'As the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live.' The indissolubility of marriage benefits the human person and society. It is clear that marriage is the proper and optimal environment for children to be welcomed and to receive all they need to flourish. Every metric indicates this. It is also clear that having children contributes to the good of their parents through the many sacrifices they will make for their children. For most, children are the thing that breaks us out of our self-absorption. It is way more difficult to be self-centered when there's a mouth that needs to be fed, or a diaper that needs to be changed, or a carpool that needs to be arranged. I once heard it said that the real miracle of children is not so much that adults make children, but that children make adults. Additionally, if holiness is the perfection of love, and love is the sacrificing of yourself for the good of another, it is easy to see how parenthood is a real means to holiness. It is also easy to see how the child-free lifestyle becomes a means to the contrary, keeping people turned in on themselves, enabling them habitually to avoid self-sacrifice and taking responsibility for others, thus stunting their authentic human and Christian formation. In addition, valuing freedom over family, lifestyle over life itself, only ends you up hitting a brick wall when the thrill is gone and you look back on your shallow life and wonder, what was it all for? As well as look ahead and see yourself an old man or woman filled with regret, waiting to die alone. Well, that's my take. If you have a topic that you'd like my take on, make a comment below or email us at r4hpodcast@gmail.com. Come back next time when we will tackle a new issue. Until then, run the race, fight the good fight, and keep the faith.